Well, joining me now on the phone is David Yepsen. David, a great friend of the program. He's host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Broadcasting. He's the former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU Carbondale and former national political correspondent for the Des Moines Register. David, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
It's good to be with you, Rick. Thank you.
Well, it was actually... This is kind of an outgrowth of a conversation that David and I had earlier, or last week, actually, for a story I wrote about Governor Pritzker and his taking on Donald Trump in a closed conversation of the nation's governors with the White House. But I think we're seeing two things going on now is that... The protests are still going on, and I think they're going to continue. The violent looting part that was hitched on to these peaceful protests seems to have ebbed. But I still think, you know, I think this country is kind of at a very serious inflection point.
I agree, Rick. I think... in all kinds of ways, there's all kinds of evidence that people are looking for a change. You have the size of these protests. You have even many police officers expressing consternation at some of these things we're seeing in the streets. Protesters have sort of taken back their movement from people, the opportunists who are looting and really cheapening the protest. I think things are changing, and in the world you and I work in, which is covering politics, we just had a primary in this state on June 2nd. It was a record turnout, the largest turnout we have ever had in a primary. So people are engaged in a way that they haven't been. New generations of leaders are coming forward, and things they are changing now. It's a long way to Election Day, but I think there's some fundamental changes. A lot of Americans, particularly white Americans, who thought, you know, we had checked the racial box when we elected Barack Obama president, are finding a rude awakening that no, things are not what we thought they were. So I think things they are a changing.
Well, and I think. Quite frankly, and I don't mean to harp on that case in Buffalo of that 75-year-old white protester, but I think, you know, that almost in some respects, you know, fueled that there is some issues that need to be addressed about police tactics. And then you had President Trump basically wanting to militarize the response to protests by calling in not just the National Guard, but the Armed Services and the Insurrection Act. Now, at least, we've seen that the president today is basically sending the National Guard out of Washington. But I think that, you know, it just seemed to be this compounding of things on top of the pandemic restrictions that so much of the country had been under.
And I think that the president's performance on some of these issues is really hurting him politically. You have American military leaders and retirees who are vocally disagreeing with him, saying they're not going to support him or going to vote for Joe Biden. You have polling that shows his Biden up with a double-digit lead nationally in polling. Now, you and I both know that national polls are one thing. Tell me what the polls are in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan, and then we can talk. But things have moved, and a lot of military people who were originally thought to be strong, good conservative Republicans, you know, they're not happy with the way Trump is handling this, and so it's a long way to Election Day, but. Clearly, the president is having some trouble dealing with this situation.
Well, I thought the response of these retired military leaders was really astounding, particularly when you're talking, you know, you're thinking about somebody like Jim Mattis, who was Mad Dog, his Secretary of Defense, and who had for the most part kept his silence in refusing, as he sold his book, not wanting to really engage and direct when asked questions about his view of the White House. And I thought that was astounding when he said, you know, this is presidents unite, this man is a divider. You throw on Colin Powell, and of course you knew that Powell was not going to be a Trump fan of any kind, and kind of acknowledged as much 4 years ago in the election. But all of these other, Rear Admiral Mullen, former chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, I mean, to me, that says an awful lot about wanting to put a brake on where the military fits into a political environment.
Yes, it does. And it's telling military people, particularly at those top levels of command, even are usually very careful not to get involved in blatantly partisan campaigns. They take very seriously the separation that we have in this country. And there's a debate now over whether that was done properly in Trump's photo op in front of the church a few days ago. So, you know, we're having a little discussion about the role of the military. And, you know, there are some military people who Trump, you know, let's remember, Trump did not serve. And, you know, he acts like he I don't want to say this. He's just acting too macho for somebody who wasn't able to go to Vietnam because he had bone spurs, and real soldiers, soldiers who have defended this country for careers, are just fed up with this. And it sort of boils over when you see those kind of comments coming from respected retired military people.
We're speaking with David Yepsen. He's the host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Broadcasting. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. <music> 6:46 on this Sunday evening. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. This is your Sunday Spin. Joining me on the phone, my good friend David Yepsen, former national political correspondent of the Des Moines Register, who is now the host of the venerable Iowa Press on Iowa Public Broadcasting. David, we've got a call from our friend Ron. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Hello, Rick. My question, with a lot of the recent discussions of racial equality, and because Joe Biden did say he was going to choose a female vice president, is it more pressure on him now, because the African-American community really looking for him to choose an African-American female? So that's my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes, Ron, you're right, and I agree. He said he needs to pick a woman. I think it needs to be an African-American, and for just the reasons that you said, Ron, black voters have been pretty loyal to the Democratic Party for many years. Their turnout wasn't that great in 2016, and it contributed to Hillary Clinton's loss. Now, Democrats can't and shouldn't take it for granted anymore. It's a changing vote, it's a changing world, and politicians have to, Democrats particularly have to rethink a little bit about how they approach African Americans. And this is one thing that Biden can do. And so you've got Kamala Harris, for example, is at the list. Val Demings, a congresswoman from Florida, is another that are mentioned. But you know, it has to go beyond that, Ron. I think Democrats, as I say, the African Americans have been loyal voters, and many of them are feeling that the Democrats have not delivered on their promises, particularly on issues of income inequality. We don't talk about that enough, but it is a big deal in this conversation that we're having. And so the times are changing. Younger voters are having some doubts about voting. They're saying we're told to go turn out and vote, but nothing happens, nothing changes. They had 38% turnout of voters under age 30 in the 2018 elections. Voters over age 65 was double that. So younger voters were staying home too. And so if Joe Biden is, he can't just rely on Trump's mistakes. He has to get people fired up to be for him, particularly, as you said, Ron, in the African-American community, and I think also among younger voters under age 30.
David, I mean, obviously we don't have any data to tell us this, but given kind of the intensity of protests, the protests in the aftermath of George Floyd, and even seeing protests in demonstrations in places that are small towns, or, even there were some out in conservative West suburban Wheaton. Is there a intensity value here? I kind of wonder if it wasn't for COVID-19, if this wouldn't be one huge voter registration effort.
It was, but thanks to absentee ballots, people can still go to the polls and turn out as they did here in this state. No question about it, Rick. It's different. You have Mitt Romney participating in a demonstration outside the White House. Alex Burns from the New York Times had a tweet today. He said, "I never thought I would have seen the day when Mayor Bill de Blasio was defending the New York City Police Department and Mitt Romney is protesting in the streets." And we're seeing a lot of things that we didn't see before. And part of it's generational, Rick. We go back to the Southern strategy, and it looks like Trump's replaying what Nixon did in 68. We're two generations removed from that. And so you're seeing many people who are saying, Republicans and independents, and who are saying this, something isn't right here in this country. We've got to make some changes.
And as you say, in that Southern strategy, we're talking over 50 years. And what's look at the country these days.
Yeah, I mean, those Southern states, many of them are in toss-up situations. Georgia, Texas is moving blue. The old Southern strategy was based on race baiting and all that. That stuff doesn't work, and it's going to be important for both candidates, I think, to rethink the strategies going into this, because, the old rules are just not... they're not working like they used to. We've got, look how the technology has changed this debate. We're having this debate because of the iPhone. We're capturing things that we'd heard about, but had never seen before. And that has changed our attitudes towards this race problem that we have in this country. We're seeing it up close. And technology is changing the way politicians campaign. So Facebook and direct messaging, things we never have seen before in campaigns. So it's a new game. It's a fascinating time to be covering politics and watching it. But one thing's for sure, no elections. November's a long way away.
That's exactly right. When you talked about the Iowa primary, not to be confused with the caucus, please. We don't want to go there. What was your view for why it was such a significant turnout?
It was partly the effect of the caucuses. You had a huge mobilization effort in the Democratic Party. There was a U.S. Senate primary in the Democratic Party. But here's another example of change. Long-term Congressman Steve King, controversial Republican from northwestern Iowa, he was thrown out in a primary, lost by 10 points. What was happening just across the state line in Minneapolis from his district, I think, played a role in many rank-and-file, stalwart Iowa Republicans saying, hey, Steve, those old lines and rhetoric just doesn't work. We need a congressman who can be more effective. So that's another example of the change that I'm seeing.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too. This wasn't King getting taken out in a general election by a Democrat. In northwestern Iowa, of course, is strongly Republican, strongly conservative. But the fact that, everybody knew Steve King and knew what he represented. And he had been able to last for so long until, I mean, basically, even the Republican caucus in Washington stripped him of any committee powers. And that, I think, was probably the final straw that did him in.
Yeah, it was with a lot of Republicans. You know, you can be a conservative without coming off like a racist or a white supremacist. And so he's gone. And, you know, these are pretty conservative people. His replacement is most likely going to be a conservative, but he's not going to come with the baggage and some of the rhetoric that Steve King peddled. That is in Iowa that I know, and it was really a marker of how much voters are changing their attitudes towards things and to politicians.
One of the Sunday shows, and I can't remember exactly. It might have been Admiral Mullen who said this. I don't want to be wrong, so I'm not sure. But was talking about how presidents have to represent everybody and not just their base. And this seems to be the president's game right now is the base. It's not about growing a base.
Yes, both parties do that. They fire up their base. Republicans have reacted to the growth in the Democratic base with a variety of efforts the critics call it turnout suppression. Republicans believe they're trying to foster election security. But you win an election today by firing up your base and seeing that your opposition is discouraged from turning out. And what you're just talking about here is we have to go back to the old days when a Republican ran as a conservative in the primary and a Democrat ran the primary, and then for the general election they dove to the center and tried to become more centrist. Instead, they win their primaries by appealing to the base, and then they just keep going mm-hmm. and trying to find, you know, in the Civil War it was called waving the bloody shirt, and finding ways to energize and radicalize and mobilize their base. And I think that has to change. And maybe that is when you see Mitt Romney protesting like that, that's a difference. Something's changed.
Yeah, I know, you know, we've started seeing that phrase again, speaking of Nixon, the silent majority. And here again, that's different. That was then.
It certainly, we saw it in 2016. It may still be there, Rick. Yeah, I think Trump's support gets understated in some of these polls. There's a phenomenon called the shy Trump voter. It's not real cool to be for Trump. And so you get a phone call from a pollster, and you're a Trump voter. Your response is muted. So Nixon called it the silent majority. There may be still a shy Trump electorate out there that they might be unhappy with Trump now. I mean, rural America is being trashed by trade wars and hard economic times. That was going on even before the racial turmoil flared up. And so I think a lot of Trump's voters, people who were for him in 2016, are rethinking it now, particularly white women, white non-evangelical women who voted for Trump. They're definitely a target of opportunity for Democrats.
But does his kind of law and order pitch appeal to those suburban women who are more moderate and may have fallen towards the Democratic column in recent years?
Yes, it should. Though we know those voters are very concerned about security, but security is more than just having more cops on the street. Now that we're seeing security in terms of our health, in terms of our political dialogue, the country sort of looks like it's coming unglued. And so I think those things motivate all voters, and certainly suburban women voters, which you're correct, is very critical in determining the outcome of this president. They will be very critical in determining the outcome of this presidential election.
David Yepsen, host of the Iowa Press on Iowa Public Broadcasting. David, as always, thank you so much for joining me and hope to see you sometime soon.
Okay, great talking to you, Rick.